Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Ben Ennis. Down at Rogers Center, Blue Jays and New York Yankees wrapping up their three-game series. Anthony Rizzo's kind of like the manager of the Yankees today. So the Yankees are taking it super seriously. Gerrit Cole, he wants to improve on his numbers, so he's going to take it seriously. And Aaron Judge wants to hit homers number 61, 62, 63, and 64. So he's taking it seriously. Hard to say that the Yankees as an organization have a lot of place a lot of import on the result of today's baseball game. Let's put it that way. Blue Jays can clinch a postseason spot, though, with a victory and an Orioles loss. And I've been talking to the legends of the broadcast game the last couple of days here in the booth. It's only fitting that we are joined now by another legend. It is the great Adnan Virk of MLB Network. How's it going, Virk?
I said he can't possibly make the segue, and then Ben Ennis just took that car and drove right through that opening. Yes, make the segue if Virk is up there. Listen, Sterling is unbelievable. I remember years ago, I was at Yankee Stadium, and I couldn't believe he knew who I was. I was floored. I walked by, hello, Adnan, good to see you. I'm like, hey, it's John Sterling, oh my God. And Susan Waldman did not know who I was. However, this past year, I was at Yankee Stadium, and Susan Waldman made a point of saying, hello, Adnan. And I said, hello, Susan. So you're having the stars here, the New York era, on the radio with you. Listen, Susan's literally a Hall of Famer. I'm sure John is as well. I love the fact he had a couple legends there with you. Both great people.
No, it's great. It is awesome. And, yeah, the Yankees as a baseball franchise, it's fun to hate them. But there's, man, it's cool to be around this franchise, which is the most storied in North American pro sports, right? And everything surrounding that, including the broadcasters, that's cool. What do you think about Blue Jays fans? Because this has been kind of a topic of conversation amongst various hosts on the station this week. What do you think if you're a Blue Jays fan, should you want to see history? Should you want to see Aaron Judge hit number 61 and maybe 62 tonight?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, I think, listen, if it's impacting you negatively, which I suppose it is, because you're trying to get home field and that three-game series at Rogers Center next Friday, but the Jays have a little bit of a cushion now, right? I mean, 1.5 games. Like, I think if you're a Blue Jays fan and you're there, you want to be able to say, I saw 61 and 62. If the Jays were literally at a three-way tie with the Mariners and the Rays, okay, that's different, because one loss really could end up being huge. But I'm like, you have just enough of a buffer. If you lose this game, fine. But of course, what you really want is this. You want to see Judge make history and the Blue Jays still win. So that's the ideal scenario. Jays win 3-2. Judge hits two solo home runs and you see him make history as he breaks Roger Maris. I mean, what's crazy is this. 31 plate appearances without a home run. That's his second longest of 2022. But the previous time, as you know, was in August. He went 41 plate appearances. So it's not shocking if he goes 5 plate appearances tonight. Yankees are off tomorrow. Friday, Saturday goes into, like, dude, we could be going into Sunday and Judge has not tied or broken the record. It's crazy.
Well, okay, so if that's the case, if that's the scenario that we're looking at with 4 games to go for Aaron Judge to at least match Roger Maris and perhaps surpass him, I don't care how stoic and how under control Aaron Judge is. Like, there is no way that guy's not feeling some of the stress. Like, Roger Maris Jr. is going to be able to fly anywhere he wants with the amount of air miles that he's acquired over these last couple of weeks. And his mom, those two are going to be super tight because they've spent so much time together sitting next to each other watching this thing. He wouldn't be human if he wasn't feeling some of the strains of this chase. If we go into the final series of the season, he hasn't hit 61.
So Jimmy Kimmel was in Brooklyn this week. Last night, the incredible David Letterman was on. When Dave came out, he looked out the crowd and goes, hey, is that Roger Maris' family over there? And I lost it. And then Kimmel had to explain the joke. Was, yeah, Roger Maris' family is following Aaron Judge. And Letterman goes, well, if you have to explain the joke, it's not nearly as funny. But it's exactly the point of what you're referring to. They have to go everywhere. Like, New York, they went to Toronto. They're going to go back to New York as he's going to face the Orioles this weekend. And maybe the Roger Maris family will be flying to Texas next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I love the fact they're going everywhere. I hope, by the way, somebody's picking up the bill. Hopefully the Yankees are paying for them to fly over. Maybe they're not. I have no idea. I hope they're taking care of them, getting them good tickets, because as they have said, they want to support their father, want to support his legacy. But to your point about stress, Ben, you know as well as I do, the stories are so famous about Roger Maris, the stress he was under, clumps of hair started falling out. The fact he never had once had an intentional walk, never, because Mickey Mantle was hitting behind him. And it's so different to me than from a hit streak. A hit streak, you can go, I don't care. I'm going to lay a bunt down. I don't give a damn. I'm going to extend this hit streak. But for Judge, he's got to hit a home run. Like, he can't just, you know, cheap little base hit opposite field. Okay, fine. Maybe he'll get him the batting crown. We don't get the triple crown that way. But he's got to hit a home run. He's got to make solid contact and drive the sucker. And it's amazing because he's got a 571 on base during a 26-game on base streak. So it's incredible how he's getting on base. But only 15 of 55 pitches that he has seen in this series have been in the strike zone. Only 27% of the time he is seeing strikes. And you and I lived through Barry Bonds and how strange that was when a guy would literally get one good pitch to hit in that bat and he hit it for a home run. That's what Judge has to do, it feels like, at this point.
Yeah. No, I say what you want, and it's all probably true about Barry Bonds, that the guy knew how to hit, and it was not easy what he was able to accomplish despite all the pharmaceuticals that were injected into his bloodstream. You mentioned all the walks and the plate appearances yesterday. All five of them go to full counts. He ends up taking the four walks. I don't know if you saw Stephen A. with his little rant against Blue Jays pitching yesterday. So he basically called the Blue Jays pitchers cowards, and they were like an affront to the game of baseball. What do you make of that take, Adnan?
Well, it's beyond absurd. I mean, I like Stephen A. I had very brief familiarity with him, even in 9 years of ESPN, just because obviously I was never on First Take. But I can tell you one story with Stephen A., which just typifies what he's all about, which I was on Mike and Mike, the, of course, famed radio show, filling in for Mike Greenberg, and I criticized the movie Concussion, which is interesting. Before Will Smith was known for the slap around the world, I just said it was a very pedestrian movie and very dry. And Stephen A. Smith tweeted me. He tweeted at me saying, "Yo, you know, Adnan Brooks doing a good job today, but don't you ever come out my man Will Smith, or I'll find you and take you down." I'm like, okay, so this is just what he does, right? Like, it's performance art. So there's nothing interesting about a nuanced take in which he says, man, Aaron Judge is really facing the pressure and really has to search for a strike. No, it's more fun to, you know, basically compare the Blue Jays to the Cowardly Lion. I don't think that's the case. I watched the game as you did. I'm watching every single at-bat. They're nibbling, of course, yeah, but I mean, sometimes they are going after him. I mean, there are pitches in the strike zone. It's just a matter of Judge being able to hit those. And some of those pitches, it's not like they're 10 feet off the plate. They're nibbling. They're looking around. They're fine. It's not like it's so egregious. Like with Bonds, again, where you can tell the pitches weren't even close. There's some pitches that are close, and Aaron Judge has a good batting eye. And to his credit, he's expressing discipline. Like he could wave at a few of those pitches, but he is not and taking the walk. But to say the Jays are being cowardly, not at all. Like they're being smart, I think, in their approach.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is maybe why I'm not a professional athlete. I mean, one of the 10 billion reasons why I'm not a professional athlete. But I don't know how if I agree with the pitcher take that they don't want to be a part of history. Like Kevin Gausman said, he doesn't want to be the answer to a trivia question, which I guess I understand. But if it were me, like Kevin Gausman's having a great season. Because he gave up a home run to Aaron Judge doesn't mean he's not having a great season or isn't a great pitcher, and the Blue Jays shouldn't have gone after him as a free agent, and he's not going to pitch well in the postseason when the pressure's at its highest. No, it means none of that. It means he gave up a home run to the guy who's hit the most home runs in Major League Baseball by almost 20 and who might set the American League record. I don't know. Do people actually remember the answers to these trivia questions about these historic home runs?
Like, there's only a couple that I do. I remember McGuire hit 62 off Steve Traxel because Steve Traxel would take forever in between pitches. I couldn't stand
it. But that's why,
so.
Because Traxel was like an individual that you remember.
Correct. And I know Maris hit off Tracy Stollard, and I know nothing else with Tracy Stollard's career, but I know Maris hit 61 off him, but that's it. Like, if you said to me, who did Aaron hit number 715 off of? I don't think I know offhand. Al Downing, I think. I want to say Al Downing. Yeah, but I wouldn't know Bonds is 62nd. I wouldn't know Bonds is 73rd. I'm like, I have no idea. Like, but to your point, I almost think if you're a great pitcher, you've got that ego about you. You've got that competition about you. If I'm Kevin Gausman, hey, no way he's hitting off of me. I'm going after him. Like, you saw that with Pop. I think it was the at-bat in the 7th of the 8th. Like, the first two pitches, like, right in the zone, 97. Like, come get him. Like, I don't care. I'm not. Whereas, you know, Gausman, the other at bat was all sliders. So I get it. It's different approaches. But I just think of, like, great pitchers. If I'm Justin Verlander, if I'm Max Scherzer, like, bro, there's no way I'm giving up that home run to you. And by the way, there's no way I'm shying away from it. Like, I take both of those. I'm going right into the belly of the beast. I'm going to outpitch you, and I'm going to strike you out. You're not getting that home run off me. So I'm with you. I wouldn't – and by the way, if I give up the home run, I wouldn't care. Like, if he hits it off a major pitcher, I don't think years from they're going to go, oh, wow. You know, it's tough to imagine his career, the fact that he got that home run to Aaron Judge. No, nobody cares. it's fine.
Yeah, yeah. No, if it were Alek Manoah and Alek Manoah is doing his Cooperstown induction speech, I very much doubt that it would come up that he gave up the home run to Aaron Judge. Of course, not pitching in this series. It is Mitch White on the hill for the Blue Jays tonight. And like I said, the Blue Jays have still plenty to play for. They haven't mathematically clinched anything. It's a matter of time because the magic number is 2. So the Orioles can't even lose 2 games the rest of the way and have the Blue Jays not clinch. The Blue Jays are going to the postseason. It's where in those 3 American League wildcard spots they end up. It's only the top one that has home field advantage through all 3 of the wildcard games. And you want that. You do. But I'm curious to see how much John Schneider and the Blue Jays want. I know he had the big talk last week about Alek Manoah is going to start game 162 if it means a chance to win home field advantage in the first round of the postseason. Then we heard from the general manager, Ross Atkins, yesterday, Adnan, who basically said, yeah, you know, it would be nice to have home field, but it would be way more nice to have our best pitcher pitch in that series. So kind of threw cold water on it. And there were some veiled comments today in John Schneider's media availability about sewing up a postseason spot and maybe the ability to get some of his regulars some rest. I really do wonder how these 3 teams, and they are going to clinch in different scenarios, and the Mariners, boy, need to win a game to get in there officially. But I do wonder how all out these teams are going to go for that top wild card spot.
I'm with you. The cliche holds true. Momentum is that day's starting pitcher. If I have a choice between home field or getting my starters lined up the way I want to, I'm taking the second every day of the week. Like, if I'm the Blue Jays, I got to have Manoah starting game 1. I got to have Gosman starting game 2, period. And I hope I win it in 2 games and we're over. And if it's game 3, I've got a decision on my hands. Is it Barrios, who's really talented, but has a 5.25 ERA? Is it Ross Stripling, who's been a godsend for me? I don't think it's Mitch White, but I'm like, you know, you have to look at different options. To your point, I don't want to have Manoah starting in game 162. I lose that game. And all of a sudden, I'm on the road against the Rays, and I don't have Manoah starting. Like, are you kidding? Like, that's a no-brainer to me. I would love to play at home. Again, I know the crowds at the Rogers Center are passionate and powerful and boisterous. But you and I both know. Look up the numbers. I believe baseball home field advantage is like 55% over the last 10 years. It really isn't as important as one might think. Like, it sounds cool. Oh, my God, Jays are at home. But, again, if it's at Tampa and Manoah shoves, well, guess what? If he goes 7 innings, scoreless innings, then the Jays are going to win that series. So I'm with you. I think it's a cool thing to say. And again, if I have an option of home field versus not, I would take it. But I'm absolutely looking at my rotation and how my pitching sets up. That's of vital importance to me.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, this leads me to this line of thinking, because this is the first year we've lived through these new expanded postseason rules. Does the wild card have juice? Like, does it need a little bit of tinkering? I was a proponent of it. It sounded good at the time, and it's not just a one-game coin flip thing, and there is the advantage of all 3 games at home, but like you said, it's way more important to line up your starters, and maybe it has to do with this being a weird year where we're pretty certain, and we've been pretty certain for a while here because the Orioles haven't quite been up to the challenge here the last week or so, that we've known the 3 teams that are going to be in the American League wild card picture. Should we up the stakes for that top wild card team? Should we, I don't know, give the top team, the team that is at home, like start with 1 win, so they only have to win 1 more to advance to the American League Division Series? Is there something wrong with the format currently?
I'm okay with it right now. I mean, originally when there was only 1 wild card team, I think it was unfair because division winners didn't have an advantage, right? And you saw the first few years, wild card teams would run the table and you go, okay, what's the point of going all out to win the division if a wild card team pulls off an upset against the 1 seed? So what I really like with the current system is both the 1 seed and the 2 seeds get a bump. Like, to me, I'm like, you should reward the team that plays the best over 162 games. The Astros and the Yankees in this instance should rightfully be rewarded. Now, whether or not the 4 team is getting enough juice, I'm like, that remains to be seen. I'm with you that it was just an odd year in that we kind of knew the team. The whole thought process was, hey, extra team in the wild card, that means we could have 5 teams fighting for 3 spots. Instead, it was 4-for-3 because every team in the Central, aside from the Guardians, was a joke. And as you said, Baltimore really fell off. Like, the White Sox are just such a disappointment. They had that series a week ago, you know, head-to-head with the Guardians sweep them. Like, just absolute farce the White Sox were. If they'd been anywhere near competitive, it would have been a more exciting wild card race. But I'm okay with it as it is. I mean, I'm curious to see what happens. If the Jays get the 4 seed and win it in 3, and home field, whatever, feels like it's a benefit to them, then I'll say, okay, cool. I think the system worked. But I think because this is year one, we just got to see how it works. But you are right. I think the thought process was extra wild card team, more teams in the mix. Really hasn't happened. It's just one team. It's the Orioles, and the National League, it's the Brewers. And both those teams, in all likelihood, will not make it.
Yeah, and there's still something to play for at the top of the wild card standings in the National League, by which I mean also the National League East title, which is right. That's worth a bye, right? The Mets and Braves are tied record-wise, so one of those teams is going to be a wild card team, and one of them is going to have a bye, and they're playing head-to-head, and there's a Hurricane that's going to maybe wreak havoc with that series as well. So that's super interesting in the National League. It was so close to being super interesting in the American League, Adnan, because the Mariners, they had it right in front of them, right? And still do. They have a bunch of cupcakes on their schedule. They wrap up the season with 4 against the lowly Detroit Tigers, but they've lost 8 of 11 against sub-500 opponents, and I know they're missing their best player, but this is the team with the longest postseason drought in Major League Baseball. If the Orioles had played just a little bit better, imagine how nervous, and I'm sure they are still nervous, despite the fact that Fangraphs has them at like 99.8% as far as a chance of making the postseason. Until they see that X, because it's been so long, I'm sure they're still super nervous in Seattle. But imagine if the Orioles had just played a little bit better and it was like 1.5 instead of 3.5 games back here with 7 games to go in the regular season.
Yeah, without a dog in the race as a baseball fan, I just want to see drama. So I'm with you. I would have liked it to be a little tighter. And probably if you asked me, I'd rather have the Mariners in the playoffs just because they want to end that playoff drought. But it's been dicey. I mean, they've lost 8 of their last 11, and they scored 1 run or fewer in 6 of those 8 losses. So without J-Rod, their offense is horrible. They got to get Eugenio Suarez. He just came back, first game since September 16th, went 0-for-3 with 3 strikeouts and a walk. Mitch Haniger, since August 25th, is batting .196. The guy's been awful. The only guy who's been good is Jared Kelnick, who, of course, has been much maligned ever since the trade with the New York Mets. He's actually hitting .316 in 5 games since his promotion. So, as just mentioned, they got to get J-Rod back. But the fact the Orioles, if they win out, they'd get 88 wins, final 8 games against the Sox for 2, Yankees for 3, Jays for 3. So realistically, Mariners probably only need to win 3 or 4 more games, and they've got Oakland for 3 and Detroit for 4. So they could go 3-4 against 2 horrible teams and probably make it. But I'm with you. I mean, just before your time, the 87 Jays, I'll never forget, losing 7 straight.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Fernandez, you know, the fractured elbow, Bill Madlock slide. So crazy things happen. And you're right. I'm sure the Pacific Northwest right now, they're not taking anything for granted.
Well, and I mentioned the NL East title and it being up for grabs, and the Braves and Mets going back and forth basically all season long. And, of course, the Braves reigning World Series champions. And this team, it's hard to argue anything other than they're better than last year's team against a team that's, I think, tops in Major League Baseball in payroll in regards to the Mets. It's pretty remarkable that the Braves, a year after accomplishing all that they accomplished, they lose Freddie Freeman. Of course, Matt Olson's been a more than adequate replacement, that here they are hanging with the team that we expected to be a perennial 100-plus win team under the stewardship of Steve Cohen.
Yeah, and I think it's so psychologically important for the Mets to get that division because they've been in first place for the vast majority of the season. I think it was like April 12th until, you know, late August or early September. So virtually the whole year you've been in first place, and all of a sudden if you gag at the finish line, that's not that they've been that bad. The Mets have been good. It's just the Braves are exceptional. Like you saw that with the Twins. The Twins for much of the year were in first place, and then all of a sudden they entered, I think it was September 5th. They were tied with Cleveland atop the AL Central, and they've lost 15 of 22 games since then. Like, that's horrific. Yeah. For the Mets, they haven't had like an epic slide, though the Yankees had a terrible August. The Mets have been good. It's just the Braves have been out of their minds since, you know, early May. And I think for the Mets, if you go, I cannot believe we literally were leading this division all year, and now we're in the wild card, and that would impact their pitching because now DeGrom and Scherzer are starting that wild card round and therefore would be unavailable to at least start the division series when you're facing one of the Dodgers or the Cardinals or one of those other teams. So I think it's critical for the Mets that they get this thing done. And they're facing the Marlins tonight. Lizardo versus Taiwan Walker, you know, try to get the win tonight. Pete Alonso's been ridiculous. I mean, he hit his 40th home run of the year last night. He's homered three straight games. He's already set the Mets single-season RBI record. He might be the first Met to lead the National League in RBI since Howard Johnson back in 91. But it is scary times now for the Mets. And part of it, too, is they did not capitalize on a soft stretch of schedule, right? Mm-hmm. We just discussed this with the Mariners. Easy schedule. What happened? They didn't take advantage of it. The Mets had 21 of 24 games, Ben, against the Nationals, Pirates, Cubs, Marlins, and A's. And over that stretch went 11-9. You got to do better than barely above 500 against bad teams.
Before I let you go, so Gerrit Cole on the mound for the Yankees tonight. He's having a good season. Has 244 strikeouts. That leads the American League. He's got an ERA of 3.49, which is good, but not great. And he's given up an American League high 31 home runs this season. He's game one starter in a postseason series for the New York Yankees still, but it hardly feels like he's the intimidating force that he once was.
Yeah, my boy Booney was on the show, which is my colleagues Joel Sherman and John Heyman of the New York Post, their podcast. And Heyman actually asked him, hey, game one, is Gerrit Cole still the starter? And he was like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And I was kind of surprised John asked it. And afterwards, he was like, no, I think there's a chance Nestor Cortez could be the starter. He's been the better pitcher. Cole gives up 20 home runs. Now, Sherman, you know, disagreed with that because he's like, listen, you're not paying $324 million for a guy, and you start him in game two. Plus, Cole's got longevity. Cortez really falls off. Third time through the order. So you don't want to start a game over with a guy who's giving you five innings tops. Gerrit Cole, even if he gives him a couple home runs, you feel like he'll go seven innings, give up four, et cetera. But you're right. He's not nearly as automatic as he once was. And for all that money they're paying him, they're expecting better. You know, they've lost each of his last four starts against the Jays. He's got an ERA just under six. So Toronto has really had his number. And giving up all those home runs, like you said, American League high 31. 52 of the 75 runs he's allowed have come versus the home run. So he will get bit by the gopher ball. But the good news is five strikeouts. He's going to break Ron Guidry's Yankee single-season franchise record at 248, which was set back in 78. So good news, bad news. But I'm with you. He's in a very good season. He has not had a great season. And he might be one of those guys who will never have a Cy Young. Like, it's not like he's getting up there yet, but you're like, Gerrit Cole, like, I'm kind of surprised he doesn't have a Cy Young yet. He might be one of those guys who's just a really good pitcher but just doesn't have an exceptional season that he can be rewarded like that.
Yeah, when you said that, I was like, he doesn't? And I'm looking at it. No, he doesn't. He has two runner-up finishes and three other top five finishes. But no Cy Young award in his 30s now, 32. I mean, I guess there's the Max Scherzer potential that he continues to do this late into his career. But, yeah, maybe he's just one of those guys that never has that piece of hardware. Adnan, it is great to chat. As always, one of the legends of the broadcasting game. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
Sterling, Waldman, Virk. One of these is not like the other. Enjoy the game tonight,
they're all
buddy.
The same. Thanks. See you, Adnan.
See you, Ben.
All right, there's Adnan Virk, MLB Network. And this game is meaningful. Like I said, Blue Jays need to win it to clinch today. It doesn't assure a postseason berth will be clinched, but it's part of the equation. Blue Jays win, Orioles loss, champagne flowing down in the Blue Jays clubhouse. And the Blue Jays want home field in that wild card round. Don't get me wrong. They want it. They would prefer it. Hey, if somebody said, hey, would you like home field or not? They would say, yes, we'll take home field. Thank you very much. I really, as impassioned as John Schneider appeared to be last Thursday, just getting a sense in talking to people around this team, being in the ballpark, listening to John Schneider's media availability, that they're going to try to win these games. Once they clinch, it's a different feeling altogether because they know they're in. They would prefer to be at home. But it's not like, you know, Jordan Romano is going to have six-out saves the rest of the way because they're so intent on winning these baseball games and ending up with the top American League wildcard spot. They're going to try to win them. They're going to continue to give Alek Manoah an extra bonus day of rest. Remember, he was initially slated to start in this series. That was before the Blue Jays understood that they had no realistic chance of winning the division. And we'll see. If it comes down to not just game 162, but that entire road series to wrap up the season in Baltimore, kind of the weird wraparound series that was supposed to happen at the beginning of the season, but because of the lockout, now final three games tacked on, and then an off day Thursday before that wild card round starts on Friday, which might be here down at Rogers Center. When the Blue Jays are in the postseason, my next guest will be calling all those games. Might call history today. Aaron Judge still sitting on 60 home runs. We'll talk to the voice of Blue Jays baseball here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Ben Wagner, next. We get you set for Blue Jays and Yankees Game 3 of 3 down at Rogers Center. I'm Ben Ennis. This is The Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Unrivaled insight, analysis, and opinions on all things Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan Drive Time, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I am Ben Ennis. Down at Rogers Center, Blue Jays and New York Yankees with the rubber match of their three-game series. Gerrit Cole against Mitch White. Blue Jays coming off a rather sloppy loss to the Yankees yesterday. A game they might have lost anyways if the sixth inning hadn't happened. Would have been a very strange baseball game, missing an inning. Would have been only eight innings long. But yeah, the sixth inning was a defining moment in yesterday's baseball game as Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit what ended up being a single off the wall in left. It scored a run. It scored George Springer. It might have been the start of a game-defining rally. Instead, it was the end of a rally as he was thrown out at second base after admiring the ball off the bat, thinking that it was over the wall for a two-run home run. That coming mere moments after Bo Bichette was tagged out at second base after forgetting where his foot was, after what could have been a double for him as well. And this is not I wouldn't say it's a sloppy baseball team altogether, but that is not something that has been totally foreign from this team. It's been few and far between in September. They played some pretty clean baseball, but we even saw it on Monday with Teoscar Hernandez admiring his double off the wall in game one of this series, which ended up being a two-run double, and it didn't cost him because the throw went home. But yeah, it's not totally out of nowhere seeing what we saw yesterday and John Schneider addressing it yesterday and addressing it again with the media today. Sunday, October 2nd, it's the Canadian Cancer Society, CIBC, Run for the Cure and Help Change the Future of Breast Cancer. Funds raised through the run could help enable the next big discovery or ensure that someone facing a breast cancer diagnosis has the information and support they need to manage life with breast cancer more easily. Visit CIBCRunForTheCure.com to register or donate. All right, so that's part of the story. The Blue Jays trying to erase the memories of yesterday's sloppiness. The other part of the story is the Yankees have clinched. They might be hungover, and Aaron Judge is sitting on 60 home runs. Ben Wagner will call the game for you in mere moments on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Did I sum it up succinctly enough?
That's pretty much it. I was talking to a longtime baseball guy on the field earlier, and we were talking about clinching and celebrations and the fun that is around the game. But then there's also this edge, right, between old school and new age. New age guys said, you don't know how hard it is in this game today with the spin and all the rates and all the data and all the video. All the time we invest. And the old guy said, you don't know how hard it is to hit hungover.
That's exactly right.
So today we might find out.
Yeah.
Not exactly 1-9 in this New York Yankee order, but maybe a couple of heads are still banging at this hour.
Yeah, and you know what? I wouldn't fault them because, quite frankly, the wins and losses are irrelevant for the New York Yankees. Like, there is not even, like, seeding or potential home field advantage in anything. Like, it's over. I mean, I suppose there's a World Series matchup where you could have home field advantage be decided. I suppose it's hard to think about that, the final seven games of the regular season.
If Anthony Rizzo is managing the New York Yankees today, they're not worrying about scenarios that could plot out from this individual game that could define or dissolve New York Yankee home field advantage.
No doubt. Yeah. But Aaron Judge is in the lineup because you can't rest everybody. And gone are the days of the 40-man rosters in September, right? So it's only 26 that are up here. But, yeah, so Aaron Judge is leading off. He's the DH today. There was some talk that he might not even play in this game, but he is playing. He is here. We've been waiting to hear the Ben Wagner call of number 61 and 62. The Blue Jays have won half of the games that the Yankees have been here, and Aaron Judge has been sitting on 60, but he has yet to hit a home run. Had the single on Monday and had the four walks yesterday. Be honest. This is the time for honesty now, Ben. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'll be able to tell if you're lying. Will you be disappointed if the Yankees exit here today and you will not have called at least one Aaron Judge home run?
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
I will.
Honesty.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this job, it has unique perks at random times along the way. Calling no hitters, calling history, historical moments. Sometimes you can see in the distance and you think, what if? I went through it last year with Miguel Cabrera and 500, and I wondered, wow, man, the end of August, the Tigers are coming to town. If Miggy has a decent year, he might have a shot at 500. And lo and behold, that afternoon, Miguel Cabrera hits a high changeup over the wall in right field, and you have some little seam in what is woven across history with Miguel Cabrera. And to be associated with it, to have a broadcast or at least a link here in Toronto to historical moments in Toronto baseball history. I like it. I like the opportunity to do it. I take great pride in all those things. I would love to have perhaps history, one, for Aaron Judge happen here, but also then the final call be a Boston and Baltimore game that is already concluded at Fenway Park, which is a miracle in itself.
Yeah.
If that is the case, I would love to see that happen. And then head down to the clubhouse and witness a little Blue Jay history as well after the last couple of years.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how the Blue Jays celebrate because, yeah, I don't think it's jinxing anything to talk about the potential celebration. It's going to happen. Magic number's two. Yeah. There's seven games to go, and the Blue Jays are going to win probably more than two games, and the Orioles are certainly going to lose at least two games the rest of the way. So something will be clinched in that regard. And it's so this team has the playoff experience of 2020, they have the celebration experience of 2020, but that counts for nothing, essentially. Maybe the playoff experience counts for something because at least game one was a tight game, and that had stakes, and it felt playoff-y, close.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Close to playoff-y?
It felt very close to playoff scenario, right, with the game, the intensity, the swings, but also then the maneuvers from a coaching staff and a manager that had very limited time to make decisions. And I was chatting with John Schneider about how he forecasts a decision to hold up the four fingers ultimately with Aaron Judge, right? That's the focal point of that moment and that night. Then on the other side, you have the Yankees. Who do you pitch to? Do you want to go Vladimir Guerrero Jr.? Do you go against Alejandro Kirk? And Aaron Boone said it, I had to pick my poison. And with the way that Vladimir Guerrero Jr., I think, had been pounded balls into the turf, I think that's why the New York Yankees ultimately decided to pitch to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And, you know, he laces the walk-off base hit. But that ball game came down to that one moment, won by the Blue Jays in dramatic fashion. Certainly felt like a playoff game. The energy, the tension, and then, honestly, the realization that you cannot take plays off. And we saw the ripple effects then on Tuesday night with that.
Yeah, okay, so that's a good segue into what I wanted to talk about next. And it's kind of a through line throughout the show. Started the show with that, talked to Joe Siddle about it. And he, you know, has pretty good perspective, I'd say, as a former major league player. We heard from John Schneider today, who continued to talk about his conversation with Vladimir Guerrero Jr. after the game. He was pretty pointed in his remarks after the game yesterday. Ben, you've watched every single game that this team has played, and I wouldn't say that they're a sloppy team. Like 2020, there were some sloppy moments, and there were some horrible base running mistakes that this team has gone through during this era that they've gotten through, and they've gotten beyond that. That's not, I wouldn't say, necessarily part of this team's DNA anymore. What about what we saw in the sixth inning, though, yesterday? Is that something that has been kind of below the surface of this team all season long, or did you feel that was more of a one-off, what we saw yesterday?
It wasn't a one-off. No, it's not a one-off. There have been little moments across the scope of this season that you can point back to, and teammates have been frustrated with other teammates. Coaches have been frustrated with breakdown in mechanics and some of the little things. The little things that will never show up in a box score, but was it the right angle to cut a ball off in the gap? Did you come up after cutting a ball off in the gap and throw to the right base? Little things that you get taught in the fundamentals, sometimes there are breakdowns. Magnified at times, absolutely. Sometimes just swept under the rug, certainly. But when the games come down to the stretch, and this is the point that I brought up with a couple of people on the field today, I said, is the greater concern while you're doing it on September the 27th with mere innings left in your regular season, is the greater concern here that it could happen in a pitiful game in the postseason? And they said, yes. That is why we need the Blue Jays sharp and playing at their maximum potential, mental clarity in these moments. The Bo Bichette thing is unfortunate because it was also a couple other plays circling around Bo Bichette. By the letter of the law, if replay doesn't exist, that play never gets talked about with Bo. And I understand that it is a play and there was a reverse call made. But by the nature of the rule, with a guy, you know, just kind of hovering over the bay and the play's kind of dead, the umpire could have been a little bit more aggressive in calling time as well, mm-hmm. right? But it was a very keen umpire and letting that play go to its very, very end, and Kiner Falefa then held the glove on Bo Bichette. The Vladimir Guerrero Jr. thing obviously can't happen. It just can't happen. With the play at second, the admiration of the home run, those are the things that swell, right? And then that really, really frustrates the coaches, and that's why you heard such a vocal John Schneider about it. And there have been private conversations with a number of Blue Jays and teammate to teammate as well in that clubhouse, and whether or not it's in the moment or whether or not it's a day or two after, those conversations continue to happen.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. And, you know, it was shocking to me, and I wasn't the only one that was shocked by this, that Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is one of the more vocal guys that already addressed it, maybe with Vladdy after the moment.
It's interesting. I have had conversations about Lourdes and one-on-one with Lourdes and how this entire season has changed, going back to the own pressures that he put on himself in spring training, but also the growth. Yuli Gurriel is a major influence in Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And the fact that he has blossomed into being one of the more veteran Blue Jays on this club, and also a link to young players back and forth, but also a steadfast teammate with energy and with enthusiasm, but also under the radar accountability. And that's why I think Schneider went out of his way to point that out, because you can go to the guys that have had one, a lot of years of major league service time, a lot of postseason experience like George Springer. He's going to be the guy, right? I know Matt Chapman has postseason experience. He's a high caliber, but he's still relatively new into this clubhouse. But who are the guys that can go shoulder to shoulder and see that accountability? And we've seen Bo and Vlad have, at times, what appears to be a little bit of a kerfuffle on the field earlier in the summer. They've had moments in the dugout, certainly. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. is navigating behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. With all the fun and the antics and the rally caps and the hair going everywhere and Bar Pina, you know, that we saw with the juices being stirred up in Boston. There is a lot of fun around Lourdes Gurriel Jr., but there is certainly some time to lock it in and have those conversations that mean a lot and have some depth as well behind the scenes.
All right, before I let you get back to your meal and eat your vegetables, because you need to eat your vegetables.
This is the mom port. This is the mother portion of the plate right here.
It's very interesting to see that you have eaten, the more delicious, less nutritious part of the meal first and left the vegetables for later. But, yeah, I didn't notice that.
This is Dan and my favorite day. We love lasagna day.
Is this actually lasagna day?
It is lasagna day.
Because, Dan joked about him claiming every day is lasagna day. So congratulations to you on lasagna day. And hopefully Dan's not wearing the white shirt that he was wearing yesterday. Our friend Ben Nicholson-Smith has a write-up right now on Sportsnet.ca about the playoff roster possibilities for this team. And, of course, September rosters are 28 now. They're not the 40. They're not the 26 that existed throughout the course of the regular season either. But, you get to the postseason, it's 26-man roster and 13 pitchers maximum. The way he's laid it out is 14 position players and 12 pitchers. And in a three-game series, that kind of makes sense that you would kind of err on the side of bench players. You know, and it's hard for me to argue with any of the players he's got on there, but he does not have Gabriel Moreno on the postseason roster, which is not the biggest deal in the world, but it does take you out of potential, I don't know, pinch running opportunities. Some things late in baseball games, and especially if it gets to extras where we don't have the ghost runner, which is not a ghost runner, the automatic runner at second base, that there would be no Gabriel Moreno on this postseason roster seems totally legit, because I don't know who you – here's what he has. He has obviously the two catchers that they have right now. Santiago Espinal has to return and be healthy. Kevin Biggio naturally on this team as well. Lourdes Gurriel Jr. has to return and be healthy. But Bradley Zimmer, Jackie Bradley Jr., and Whit Merrifield. I mean, all those players need to be on this roster, and there's nobody I can see being removed from that bunch to put Gabriel Moreno into a postseason roster. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I don't think he's making the postseason team. Even though you would think, all right, you need a third catcher because of, you know, the potential to build a run like you talked about, the Blue Jays have basically played with two catchers the majority of this season. That's not the fear for the Blue Jays. If it is a matchup that's not coming around again in the batting order, that they won't hesitate to pinch run for Alejandro Kirk. And that also tells me two things. One, I am in the camp with Ben Nicholson-Smith, by the way, that the Blue Jays will take more position players than they will pitchers. It won't be an even 13-13 split. And I think Ross Atkins tipped his hand towards that a little bit when we were talking with him on the field the other day. So that's not a surprise. Gabby not being on the postseason roster, certainly not a surprise. And the fact that the Blue Jays have played already with so many games with just the two catchers. But that also tells me that going into the wild card, and remember, you can reset the rosters for every postseason round. Going into the wild card, Jano certainly is going to catch two of the three games if it gets that far. That tells me they're going to lean on Alejandro Kirk to be the DH in the majority of those situations. So that again, doesn't raise any alarm bells for me.
Yeah, and we also saw Gabriel Moreno taking ground balls at third base and taking fly balls in center field. But, yeah.
That's to get through this next week.
Yeah, you maybe. Know,
that's just in case. Does Bo Bichette get banged up on a freak play, and all of a sudden Matt Chapman has to play at shortstop, and you want to get maybe Vladdy's off his feet that day and Cavins at first? You have to have a safety net, right? Because you don't have Santiago Espinal back yet.
No, it's a great, great point. Maybe when the Blue Jays clinch, we'll see some interesting lineups trotted out there. But, yeah, nothing mathematically clinched yet. Ben, fingers crossed for you that you get to call 61 and 62 and a Blue Jays victory, because that would be the best of all worlds.
That is my ultimate trifecta of this Wednesday evening.
We'll see. Thanks
all
for
right.
this.
Good to see you.
Eat your beans.
Here it is.
All right. There is Ben Wagner, voice of the Blue Jays on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Yeah, you can check out Ben Nicholson-Smith's article on sportsnet.ca if you're interested in exactly how the Blue Jays postseason roster could end up being constructed as we look forward to the postseason after seven more games of this regular season. And one of the guys that's on the list of notable omissions is Nate Pearson, who was the topic of conversation yesterday when Ross Atkins took to the field and did an impromptu media availability. Nate Pearson, because he has not even been activated off the injured list, is still on an injury rehab, is unlikely to participate in the postseason. Well, one, because we haven't seen him at the major league level, and the performances at AAA haven't exactly jumped off the page. He's had some good moments and some good reports as far as the velocity. But, yeah, he would have to be activated in the major leagues and then optioned. And if he's optioned, then it's 10 days before he can be return to the Major Leagues of Baseball. So unlikely to see Nate Pearson. Obviously, Yusei Kikuchi not going to be on the postseason roster. As far as the lineup for tonight's game is concerned, George Springer is the DH today. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. back on the field as the first baseman. And in days gone by, if you're totally old school about it, perhaps after what we saw in the sixth inning yesterday, well, one, maybe Vladimir Guerrero Jr. would have been lifted from that game in that moment, and two, might not be starting in this game. Of course, these are games of high significance, so unlikely to see that. And also, you could see it in the dugout. And John Schneider talked about this also during his media availability. Vladdy knows he's screwed up. Nobody needs to tell him. Lots of people did, including Lourdes Gurriel Jr. and probably George Springer. More than a few players went over to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. after not legging that potential double out of the box and then being thrown out at second base. I would suspect that we don't see that the rest of the regular season or the postseason from Vladdy. It also should be said that, okay, well, I've talked plenty of times about the Teoscar Hernandez play in Game 1 on Monday that ended up not costing the Blue Jays, but certainly was the same total scenario where he was admiring it even more coming out of the box, but ended up on second base, and the Blue Jays won the game, so no harm, no foul. But on Monday in that same game that Teoscar Hernandez didn't leg that double out of the box, Vladdy had a ground ball that was super routine that could have been two, but certainly could have been a fielder's choice that Isaiah Kiner-Falefa looked at second and then threw to first, but because of the effort of Vladdy, was safe at first base and led to a rally, and the Blue Jays end up winning that game in extra innings after tying it up after being down 2-0. So it's not like every time this guy comes out of the box, he's not going 100%. Blue Jays, top wild card in the American League, trying to seal that up here in the final seven games. They hold zero tiebreakers against any of the teams that they are playing or at least fighting with for that top wild card spot, nor the Rays nor the Mariners do they own the season series against. And you know what? They don't own the season series against the New York Yankees. If they win today, they'll be 9-10 against the Yankees. Home field advantage means something, but not as much as just making the playoffs. And it's interesting to look at the standings right now and imagine what the feeling would be around all three of these American League baseball teams if the rules were what they were a season ago. If we did not have the playoffs expanded by just the one team, but that's seemingly all the difference, because the Blue Jays are only three games up on the Mariners and only a game and a half up on the Rays. So right now, the Blue Jays would be three games up on being inside the playoffs with seven games to go, which would be comfortable enough, but certainly within the realm of possibility that a postseason berth would elude them, and we'd have plenty to play for here in these final seven games. I do tend to think that this is just one of those weirdo seasons where the three wildcard teams have just separated themselves from the team on the outside looking in, and that maybe next year it feels more important between all three of these wildcard teams. But yeah, even in the National League, and I know the Brewers are still there, a game and a half out behind the Phillies, but neither of those teams look like serious World Series contenders. But we probably would have said the same about the Atlanta Braves before they went on that miracle October run. It is time now for a last call brought to you by Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game. Let's start here. Blue Jays and New York Yankees at Rogers Center. Mitch White against Gerrit Cole. And despite the potential hangover, the Yankees are favored in this baseball game because of the starter alone, Gerrit Cole, who's not having the best season of his career, has a ton of strikeouts, but also giving up the most home runs in the American League. Yankees minus 122 favorites, Blue Jays plus 108. The other thing about this matchup is that Gerrit Cole's starting it, and it's not like he's going to be lifted after 60 pitches, but I can guarantee you Gerrit Cole's not throwing like 110 in this one, and I'd be surprised if he even threw 100. So if the Blue Jays are patient and get to him early, a potential early bullpen appearance by the New York Yankees you could see tonight. And the relievers that the Yankees use, hard to imagine that it's their highest leverage relievers in tonight's game that means absolutely nothing to them. Although Anthony Rizzo probably wants to go 1-0 in his managerial career. Elsewhere around the American League playoff race, it is the Rays in Cleveland playing a Guardians team that also has nothing to play for. They've sealed up the American League Central. The Guardians minus 125 favorites. The game that we're all keeping our eyes on. And the Blue Jays may be in the dugout or in the clubhouse after this one, keeping their eyes on, is the Red Sox hosting the Baltimore Orioles. Rich Hill against Dean Kramer. And the Red Sox are minus 124 favorites. So if that plays out according to Hoyle, the Blue Jays can clinch a postseason berth with a victory tonight against the New York Yankees, and the Mariners get another cookie on their schedule, but they've been unable to consume those cookies They are minus 155 favorites over the Rangers tonight in the American League. And that was Last Call, brought to you by Bet Rivers. It's a whole new game. Blue Jays have a day off tomorrow, perhaps a day off to nurse their hangovers after clinching a postseason berth. First one since 2020, but the first real legitimate postseason berth for this core of Blue Jays players. They have to beat Gerrit Cole to do it as the Yankees try to win their 96th game at Rogers Center. Arden Zwelling, Ben Wagner have the call for you in mere moments. We'll be back tomorrow on another edition of the Fan Drive Time. I'm Ben Ennis, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.